When it comes to finances, you might think that this is going to be the heaviest obstacle to overcome in comparison to our previous topics. But let me assure you, in the grand scheme of things, your ministry budget is going to be the easiest. Because it's really simple and it comes down to three very specific questions. One, do we have a budget or not? Two, if we do have a budget, is it enough? And three, if not, how do we get more? If your church leaders have blessed your women's ministry with a budget from the church, thank God for that blessing. If this is an annual budget and not just a startup budget, all the better and praise God for it. Inevitably, though, there's going to come a point where even the best funded ministry might need just a little bit more. Therefore, for the sake of this presentation, we're going to move forward under the assumption that all ministries are in the need of additional funds. And we're going to discuss how to overcome that obstacle in very practical ways. The first step in acquiring more funds for your budget, it actually starts with the pastor who oversees the ministry. You need to have a meeting with him, express that your ministry has a need for additional funds, and be as specific as possible. Show your current ministry budget. How much is it that you have? What are those funds being used for? What is it that you need more money for? Is this a one-time project or a specific increase that you're going to need every year? Is this an expense which the money is actually going to be recuperated and you're really just seeking a loan and you're going to be paying it back as the funds are collected? This might include pre-purchasing study materials where people are going to pay you as they sign up. Is there a deadline that you need the funds by? You need to make sure that the pastor understands all of these details, especially if there's a timeline that a decision needs to be made. All things considered, it's important to be realistic about your budget plans. If you have a $0 budget, don't expect to get approved for $20,000. Start small. Have a plan. In my experiences, ministries tend to work within kind of two type of budget strategies. The first is what I call budget A, and that's how much money do we have and what are we going to do with it? Or budget B is, this is what we'd like to do, and now how much is it going to cost? Problem is, now what do you do? In the realm of ministry, both of those can work, but my preference is to speak to the pastor about budget B and then compromise with what he gives me in budget A. By approaching your pastor with a written out budget based on your plans for the year, it reveals a lot to him about your ministry. It shows what's important to you, how you're spending your money, and that you have a well thought out plan for the entire year. You're not just going by the seat of your pants. However, your budget request might not be possible this year. He may return it with a few line items marked out and a new figure at the bottom. He may have created a plan where he's going to increase your budget year by year in smaller increments. And you might get your eventual goal. Or the budget committee might approve your budget for this year, but inform you that it's going to be going down next year because they see the broader picture. When it comes to a ministry budget, flexibility is important. Trust and faith that God will fund what He will is paramount. My husband has always said that anything that is kingdom worthy, God is going to provide for. So when a budget is not approved of, or your pastor marks out a few itemized lines out of the budget, this is a blessing because it means that a second set of eyes has helped us keep grounded in our ministry. It means that we're doing only what matters most, and we can get emotionally attached to our ideas, so it's good to have an unemotional perspective. As you review your approved, revised, or even declined budget, don't make assumptions about why these changes were made, but take a few minutes to talk with the pastor or the finance committee to understand their decision-making process. It's not only going to save hurt feelings through open communication, but it's also going to give you some insight into the church's priorities. What kind of projects are they involved in, and what does their budget look like? You'll feel more connected as a leader into the future of the church, and you're going to be able to share with the team why the budget wasn't approved, which can be a huge deal if the team was dreaming really big. And you may find that this team starts getting really creative. When speaking about budget, be sure to clarify why the item was removed. It may not be an issue of money. Instead, the church may not feel that that's the right priority or the right project, or that it doesn't fit the church's overall vision. Knowing this information is going to keep you from working really hard to make a project happen that the church wasn't in favor of in the first place. Regardless of how your team decides to budget, working with what you have available or establishing a budget for approval, keep track of all of your spending habits for the ministry. It's not only good bookkeeping, but it helps the team identify areas of wasted spending, If you ever want to change your budgeting style, you'll have an idea, a point of reference to get an idea of what your annual spending looks like. And it's really just good accountability for whoever is in charge of your finances to know that they're being reviewed. Best case, the church leadership approves your budget and you get an increase. The worst case scenario, you get an approval for less than you hoped for, or there's just no room in the budget for you at all. Well, at this point, you're going to need to reevaluate, is each of these things on your list a ministry want or a ministry need? And if it is a need, is there a way to handle it? When you're trying to budget for ministry wants and the funds aren't there, you can just table them. You can wait for a better time, or you can come up with a long-term plan to acquire the funds for that project. But if this is an actual ministry need, you really want to check with your pastor then about fundraising. Now, some churches will allow ministries to fundraise as frequently as they want or for specific needs, or some will limit the number of fundraisers that each ministry can promote within the church per year. There are churches that feel that certain ministries need the funds more, and they actually limit the fundraisers only to those approved ministries. Additionally, a church might approve of specific types of fundraisers and not allow others. So you need to understand your church's position on fundraising and then abide by it. Here are some examples from some churches that I know. There's a church's MOPS group, and they can have any number of fundraisers that they want within the group itself amongst its members, but they can only promote a fundraiser event to the entire church body or take a collection one time per year. A women's ministry group can maybe take an offering or collection at any of the women's ministry events, but they can't participate in catalog sales or merchandise fundraising programs or to solicit donations directly from the church body. A women's small group could take an offering once a month for single mother's ministry, but the ministry leader cannot come to the group leader and solicit funds unless a family has a specific emergency or need. The youth group can sell Christmas trees on the church property during the Christmas holiday to raise money for the youth missions trip, but they can't send out sponsorship letters to the church body. I know that you may be scratching your head over why in the world there would be any types of restrictions on fundraising for ministry. We have to remember a few things. First is that tithes and offerings to the church, they come first. If you are outside of the church building every single Sunday raising funds for one event or another, you can be pretty certain that tithes and offerings are going to be affected. Two, there are many ministries in the church. If every ministry was given the freedom to do as many fundraisers as they wanted, you could literally have somebody raising money every Sunday in the church foyer. This can become a burden to the church body who have limited funds. Three, there are churches who liken the selling of products, even as a fundraiser, in the church building as to the money handlers at the temple when Jesus turned over the tables. Four, if you're sending sponsor letters to raise funds, you may be competing with other members of that ministry. A single church member, for example, could get 20 letters all asking for $10 towards their mission trip goal. Now, while $10 might be affordable for that member, $200 may not. And then how does the church member decide who gets the money and who doesn't? Therefore, many churches will discourage sending letters within the actual church membership. Some churches simply believe that donations of any sort for any ministry should be an offering because the person was compelled by the Spirit to give, not requested or solicited or asked of them by the ministry. Now, let's assume that your pastor gives you the go-ahead to fundraise. So what are some practical ways to get financial support that you need for the ministry? A great way is through a financial benefactor. There may be one or more persons in your church that actually has a heart for the women's ministry and would be willing to be either a regular contributor or supporter to the ministry needs, or supplement the budget each year, or just contribute to a very specific project or event. In our church, we have two very specific women who are financial benefactors to our MOPS program. She has such a heart for what that ministry does for mothers of young children that any time that the MOPS group is in need of funds, they can come to her, and then she prayerfully considers that donation, and if the Lord leads her to, she gives. And it's been a huge blessing for the ministry. Another one, interestingly, she didn't start off as a financial benefactor, but she was a volunteer, and she spent a lot of time helping with child care needs and things like that. And when she passed away, in her will, she left a portion of funds to the MOPS group at our church. And that was a huge blessing that allowed us to really create a better program for the coming years. And it was such a huge blessing. And so even in her death, she was a financial benefactor and a huge blessing to that ministry. So you never know who you have in your body that really looks at that ministry and says, this is something valuable and this is something important and I want to support what it's doing. Another thing is event offerings. This is just a habit that whenever you have a women's ministry event, whether it's a brunch or a ladies' night, that you take an offering. Now, you may choose to do this for specific needs, like purchasing certain materials, or an ongoing basis so that it's kind of a predictable routine for the women who attend. But it is a blessing, and it is something that can help offset even the cost of events. Our women's ministry has a very small budget that we work off of. So whenever we do luncheons or brunches where women are coming, we will usually have a speaker that comes in, either from the church or that we've hired to come in. And then what we will do is we'll have the women who are coming bring a food potluck style. So that offsets the cost of the food for the event. But then we also take an offering at the end of the event. And what that offering does is it helps offset the cost of childcare. It helps offset the cost of materials like plates and forks and things of that nature. If it's a paid speaker, it'll offset that expense. And we work ourselves within a certain budget frame. And I can tell you that to date, we've never had a brunch where we've taken an offering where the ministry took a loss to have that event occur. There's always been money that has gone into the account, and then that has allowed us to bless women at other events, such as retreats or conferences, where they can't afford to go. We now have money that we can use as a sponsorship. So event offerings are a great opportunity to slowly build up a budget over the course of time. Another thing that you can use, which really isn't a fundraiser per se, but it's taking payments in advance. So if you're heading to a conference or a retreat or ordering materials, instead of paying the money outright and then having the ministry reimbursed, what you end up doing is you collect the money, even if it's just a deposit for part of it, you collect the money ahead of time from the women, and then you use that to make the purchase. And so even though this isn't a fundraiser, it's also not tying up the liquid funds in the women's ministry account. Now, one of my favorites is what I call rounding up. And this is when you take a collection over time that can help buffer the women's ministry account. So let's say you're putting together a special luncheon or a retreat, and there's a charge for that. What I do is round it up to the next dollar. So for example, a $5.50 luncheon would be sold as a $6 ticket. So for each woman in attendance, 50 cents is going into the women's ministry account. Now that doesn't seem like a whole lot, but it accumulates over time. And I would strongly advise to you that if you are charging for an event, not to take an offering. But a great use of a roundup is for scholarships. A retreat that I went to several years ago, they did this. And the funds that they collected from the rounding up program were used to provide scholarships for women who wanted to attend the retreat but couldn't afford to do so. Now, a fifth way is through sponsorship. You may not be able to get additional funds through a sponsorship, but you might be able to secure donations of goods or services from sponsors for an event. If a party supply store is willing to donate paper plates, cups, and napkins for your luncheon, you've now saved your ministry an expense. When I plan women's retreats for my home church, this is how I have been able to overall lower the cost per woman exponentially. Local businesses are given an opportunity to donate the supplies we need or the money to purchase the supplies in exchange for advertisement. If you choose to do something like this, be sure that your pastor is okay with it and that the businesses are in line with your church values. There are also many great websites and books that have fundraiser ideas, and a simple Google search can point you in the right direction. Lots of ministries are eager to share how they put it all together, and some sites are even going to give you a step-by-step checklist and timeline on how to get it done. They'll even share their budget. But you're going to need to get creative, and you're going to need to look at the talents within the women of your church. So here's a couple of ideas to get you started there. A bake sale. Now, these usually take place on a Sunday before or after service, and the baked goods are donated by members of the ministry, local bakery, or purchased with ministry funds. Now then, generally, those items are divided up into smaller portions and sold at a price that allots for a profit. Now, donated goods are going to yield a 100% profit, and the purchased goods will yield a much smaller profit. But cumulatively, these sales are going to bring in far more and a fair amount to support the ministry or specific project. Now, some church members, they skip the calories and just make a small donation instead. So have a collection bucket. Craft fairs and rummage sales. These are events that can be run in several different ways to support a ministry. The first option is you charge for a table space, $15 to $20 per spot, and these funds go directly into the ministry, and the person who is selling the crafts or goods, they get to keep the money they collect. Option two is the space at the event is free, but the ministry is going to get a percentage of the sales. Now, this is probably the most risky option because you have no way to anticipate how much money you're going to raise. Option three, the goods or crafts are donated to the rummage sale for the ministry to get 100% of the profit. So the ministry volunteers are going to handle the sale and the organization of it. Those who donate are going to receive a receipt from the organization for their taxes, but the ministry gets all of the sales. A plant sale is a great option in certain locations. If a local nursery or landscaper could donate one or more plants, as well as some of the ministry members, they can be potted plants, flowers, trees, shrubs, fake plant seeds, it doesn't even matter. I saw one where somebody had a painting of a flower. But they can be very successful events. A moms group that I went to was raising money for their entire year, and they did it in their church plant sale. And what was great was that there was a member of the church who was had an affinity for plants and had a lot of property. And so what he did is he told them at the end of the sale, any plants that were left over, he would purchase for his property. And so at the end of the sale, he returned with his truck and he loaded it up and he wrote them a check. And it was, an amazing blessing for that group. But if you look at the interests of the people in your church, it gives you a really good idea. We live in an area that's tropical. We have a lot of sun. It's good weather for most plants all year round, so a plant sale is a perfect thing for us. Now, if you're in Alaska, you might find that you have a lot less sun and a lot less interest in doing a plant sale. So you have to consider the interests of your church and what's going to work best. There's also useful goods that your ministry can sell as a fundraiser. You can see these things often at holidays, like Christmas tree sales or Easter lilies, pumpkins in the fall. And there are companies that you can order the items from in bulk, and you can just sell it right at the church. Or there are actually other companies that will allow you to take orders, and then they only deliver the number of items that were paid for in advance. This is another beneficial fundraiser, because many people who are on a strict budget, they can't normally donate. They'll look for organizations that they'd like to support during these times of years because they're going to buy the Christmas tree anyway or they're going to buy the pumpkins anyway. So if they're going to pay for it anyway, then why not allow that purchase to help the ministry that's in need? Dinners and luncheons are another great opportunity, whether it's simply a spaghetti dinner with a movie at the church for the whole family or a more formal sit-down luncheon or dinner with the women of the church. This is a great opportunity to raise funds for your ministry. But keep in mind that these events should be kept affordable, but they're also going to require more work. So you do want to make sure the profit to the ministry is worth the work that's going to go into it. That's just business sense. Now, asking for donations towards the cost of food is helpful, and look at the talent in your church to provide the entertainment. I attended an Italian night at a local church as a fundraiser. The church body collected the ingredients for the dinner as a donation, and several gifted women from the church volunteered to prepare the meal, and it was fantastic. And then a talented professional opera singer from the church sang throughout the entire evening. It was beautiful, and it was a memorable event. And because of the generous donations and the servant's heart of the church body, their ministry raised the money that they needed. Depending on the talents amongst your team or your members of your church, there are many other ways to raise funds. Print your own church cookbook. Some people claim they're the best ones out there. Have an art sale with pieces donated by the church body or local artists. Musicians on the church could hold a concert benefiting the ministry. Sell gently used books, etc. Get creative and pray over your fundraiser before you begin, and then make sure there's team support for the whole effort. God will ensure that your ministry has the budget it needs to accomplish whatever is on His agenda.